This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala khatim al-anbiya'i wa mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa ba'd. My beloved brothers and sisters, I begin with the greeting words of the next life and this life. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, this is another opportunity that we have to be together and to reflect upon the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reflect upon ourselves and to try to do something to improve our relationship with the Creator and to improve the conditions that we are living in here in South Africa and in the rest of the world. This is the beginning of a new series, inshallah, which is a journey from this world to the hereafter, to Darul Khulud, the eternal abode. And on this journey, we hope to, inshallah, visit the Islamic understanding of the soul and death and the grave and the resurrection and the Day of Judgment. The minor signs and the major signs of the Day of Judgment, and then to live through the events of Yawm al-Qiyamah, leading up ultimately to paradise and the fire. And we pray that these words that we share together would be a source of blessing for us and our families, and it would be a source of unity and progress for the Muslim community. In terms of this series and the reasons behind it, one of the most important traditions for me today is a saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, when he told us, "Al-kayyisu man dana nafsa wa amila lima ba'd al-maut wal ahmaq man atba'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna 'ala Allahi al-amani." This hadith is reported in At-Tirmidhi. It is hadithun hasan, and the Prophet ﷺ said, it's an authentic hadith, and he said, the intelligent person is the one who controls himself and works toward the afterlife. And the fool is the one who makes himself follow his own desires and then puts all of his hopes on Allah. And so we see this prophetic guidance being given to us, that intelligence, that the person who really looks at our existence constantly reflects on the past, the present, and the future. Not just focusing on the present itself, eating and drinking and living in this world, building houses, gaining money, gaining fame and glory, but realizing that we are coming from the divine source and we are on a journey. We are moving on a journey. And this is the mind of one who is intelligent. But one who is not intelligent is the one who just follows the desires of the present world, his feelings for food and for drink, his need for shelter, his need for happiness in this world, his desires in the material existence. He follows that. And then he hopes that inshallah, Allah would have mercy. This is a fool. And we need to reflect upon this, and this is strong language when ahmaq is being used in Arabic, because it's a message that should go directly to our hearts. Another reason why this series is so important to us today is that many of the great events in the world are focusing on the Middle East. And we see that with the fall of communism, and with Islam now being the so-called bad guy of the Western powers, and with Jews and pseudo-Jews moving into the Middle East and lining up, we see that events are starting to come together, leading to an Armageddon, a World War III, a major confrontation between the powers of this world. We also understand that the people who are lining up based upon their religious understandings, based upon their political understandings, recognize that there are strong personalities, there are strong leaders who will appear and who will lead all sides. And so there is the fear of an Antichrist. There is also the hope that many people have for a Messiah. The Orthodox Jews are hoping for a Messiah, and they intend to maintain their control over the occupied parts of Palestine, hoping that this Messiah would come. The Christians also are hoping for the return of Jesus, of Isa alayhi salam. All religions realize that there is an evil character, an Antichrist, who will also appear on the scene. And so these type of apocalyptic understandings are being studied and discussed on all different levels. They are being discussed on very high intellectual levels. And a general knowledge of it is being spread amongst the masses. Unfortunately, the masses of the people are being fed a type of hysteria that comes through the mass media, the television programming, and the movies, and also through extreme forms of Christianity. And so we see people joining solar cults, joining these strange alien-based groupings that believe that in killing themselves and killing things around them, that they would gain some sort of freedom or some sort of power in the other worlds. Even recently here in Cape Town, just the other day, as you know, a man at the Belleville railway station jumped up and said, "I am the Son of God," and began stabbing people, that all sinners must die. This man took 7 bullets and he was still going. Something possessed him. And so it is this hysteria, this insanity, that is being spread around the world, especially in the year of the new millennium, that we need to come to grips with as Muslims. Because we have authentic sources. We have revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every Muslim, whether he or she be a scholar or not, should have a general understanding of the signs of the last day, where we are going. This summer, by the mercy of Allah, I had the opportunity to visit Mecca and Medina. And leaving the Prophet's Mosque, peace and blessings be upon him, on a bright sunny day, I was walking across the marble tiles, and the sun was shining, and hundreds of people were leaving the masjid. And that feeling I get sometimes in leaving Mecca, the Haram of Mecca and Medina, sometimes you feel like you're not on earth. And as I was walking along in the distance, I could hear the voice of Sheikh Tariq al-Suwaydan. And he is one of the scholars of the Middle East who is playing a great role in educating the common Muslims. And as I got closer to a tape that was playing, I could hear him speaking about the last days. And he was focusing on Dajjal, the Antichrist. And I found myself spellbound. I couldn't move. Even though I had read the sources before. Not all of the sources, but I had gone over this as a student of knowledge. But I was spellbound in how he brought this, and the fact that sometimes if you don't continue to go over your information, you lose the urgency. And so the urgency in his voice, and the urgency of the matter itself, and how the world has changed, helped me to come to this understanding that it is important for myself and for those around us that we ground ourselves in the basic knowledge of the signs of the last days. Also, when we look at this, we don't want to look at it from the point of view of scholars or students of knowledge. This series is not intended to be a platform for philosophical debates between schools of thought, or between philosophies, or the words of great scholars, or the dreams of great mystics. This class is developed in order to give us an understanding from the sources of Islam, so that we can have a root education, a root Islamic education that is grounded in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Some of the aspects of this study are terrifying, but the intention is to enlighten, not to frighten. The intention is not to put fear into your hearts, the fear of a wild lion, but to have that type of consciousness that our feelings of fear can actually help us to do what is right. And it is reported that a man came to Al-Hasan al-Basri radiallahu anh and said to him, "There are people who are frightening us till our hearts are filled with anxiety and dismay." And he said, "Man khawwafaka hatta tablughul aman khayrun min alladhi yu'minuka hatta tablughul faza'." He said, "The one who frightens you till you reach a state of peace and security is better than the one who makes you feel secure until you reach a state of fear. Until the real fear strikes you and you're not ready for it." We have to be optimistic about the future. We have to live in this world. And we have to be positive. But at the same time, we cannot continue to live in a fool's paradise. Our children are being fed a false reality. They are being put into cyberspace. Many of the oppressed in our community, or the depressed in our community, are turning to drugs to put them in a false reality. Others get themselves drunk through sports. Sports is one of the sunnahs of the prophets, peace and blessings be upon them all. But when sports becomes a religion, that the person lives for sports, that the person wants to commit suicide when his team loses the match, or the person will actually tear and fight and scratch and try to maim other people because they represent the other side, then this has gone too far. And so we need to come out of this reality and to deal with some of the frightening things that may be in front of us and realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful and that Allah will not put upon us a burden that we can't handle. I'm sure if the knowledge of childbirth, the pain of childbirth, were given to women before it happens, many of them would not want to have children. But it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that pain that strikes is a special pain at a special place, and then we forget. And it is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our senses are limited. Our senses are limited. And so we are able to function in this world and continue to go on despite the presence of pain. Also, we have to recognize the fact that our ummah is in need of change. And change will not come about only through dua. Change will not come about only through crying for leaders, begging for help from America or from Russia or from any of the powers of this dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, "Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bianfusihim." Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change that which is in themselves. And so, the internal Muslim. How do we change ourselves? How do we give ourselves that fuel that we need to get up for Salatul Fajr? To give the extra sadaqah? To strive in the path of Allah? To feel pain, to feel cold, in order to please Allah? How do we give ourselves this fuel? Our great scholars, of course starting with the prophets themselves, have made us understand that after the belief in Allah Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the knowledge of the akhirah, of the next world, of the hereafter, that is one of the cornerstones of our faith. And when the angel Jibreel alayhi salam visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina in the famous hadith Jibreel, he asked him, "Akhbirni anil iman," inform me about iman, about faith. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, as you know, أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. It is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, and to believe in divine destiny, both the good and the evil thereof. And so he included within Arkan al-Iman, the pillars of faith, to believe in the last day, in the hereafter. This was the message of all of the prophets. Many of the verses of the Quran, especially in the Meccan period, you'll find are confirming this understanding, bringing it home to the Quraysh, bringing it home for people until the day of resurrection. But the kuffar, the deniers of faith, the disbelievers, reject this belief. They ask the questions, how could there be life after death? How could we be created again? And this is a question that people will say today. Our bodies are made up of elements. So when these elements fall down into the ground, if it explodes, if a nuclear bomb strikes and there is nothing left, how can we be created again? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered them in many different ways. At the end of Surah Qiyamah, Allah said, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدَى أَلَمْ يَكُنْ نُطْفَةً مِنْ مَنِيٍّ يُمْنَى ثُمَّ كَانَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقَ فَسَوَّى فَجَعَلَ مِنْهُ الزَّوْجَيْنِ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى أَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُحْيِيَ الْمَوْتَى. This is a beautiful Arabic sentence. This is divine use of this language. And Allah says, does man think that he will be left neglected? Was he not a discharge of semen poured forth? Then he became a clot. Then Allah shaped and fashioned him in due proportion and made of him two sexes, male and female. Is not Allah able to give life to the dead? And so the essence of the answer given in many of the different verses is that cannot Allah bring back life? He gave you life. It's a very simple logic, but it is a profound logic. And we are told in many places, remember where you came from. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِن نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Does not man see that we have created him from a drop, a semen drop? Yet behold, he stands forth as an open opponent. He started as a drop of semen, which nobody wants to look at. Then he develops into a human being, and now he argues. He brings logic. He brings philosophy. He debates. Where is the next life? How can there be? There is no God. There is no world after this. There is no fire. There is no paradise. Even in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, this was the messenger of Allah, and revelation was coming down to him. People came to him in all different fashions. On one occasion, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and took some old bones, the bones of a dead man, probably hundreds of years old, and he broke it apart till it became dust, and then he threw it in the face of the Prophet ﷺ. And then he said, مَنْ يُحْيِي هَذِهِ بَعْضَ أَنْ تَفَتَّزَتْ. Who can put life into this after it has crumbled? He threw it in his face. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the verses from Surah Yasin. وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْإِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٌ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٌ. Beautiful answer was given by the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he puts forward for us a parable and forgets his own creation. He says, who will give life to these bones after they are rotten and become dust? Say, O Muhammad, he will give life to them who created them the first time. And he is the all-knower of every creation. And so the greatest argument that we need to constantly reflect on, because our iman rises and falls, It rises and falls. Sometimes we're strong in our faith, other times we feel weak. But we need to constantly reflect upon ourselves, reflect upon our bodies, our nervous system, our immune system, our blood system. Reflect upon the beauty just of the skin that covers your body. Reflect upon the millions of cells, how we are put together. And remember that the one who put this together is capable of putting it together again. And so belief in the hereafter, after the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, is the foundation of our faith. And we need to constantly go back to this, because people will ask the question, is this important in Islam? We need to have Islamic politics. We need to have economics. We need a bank. We need to have the Islamic social system. We need to have an Islamic state. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the next life, you'll see, reading especially the Meccan verses, the strongest language is being used to emphasize the events of the next life. In the beginning of Surah At-Tur, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالطُّورِ وَكِتَابٍ مَسْطُورٍ فِي رَقٍّ مَنْشُورٍ وَالْبَيْتِ الْمَعْمُورِ وَالسَّقْفِ الْمَرْفُوعِ وَالْبَحْرِ الْمَسْجُورِ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعٌ مَا لَهُ مِنْ دَافِعٍ. This is powerful Arabic, because this is like an oath. He's taking an oath over and over and over again by major things, by the Mount Tur, and by a book inscribed in a parchment unrolled, and by the Bayt al-Ma'mur, a house over the heavens parallel to the Kaaba, and by the roof raised high, and the sea kept filled. Verily, the punishment of your Lord will surely come to pass. There is none who can stop it. This is powerful language to remind us over and over again of the importance of the coming events. Allah also tells us, Ya ayyuha nasu taqu rabbakum inna zalzalata sa'a shay'un adhim. O mankind, fear your Lord, reverence your Lord, for surely the quaking of the hour of the day of judgment will be a tremendous thing. It will be a major event. And in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, we see in the description of the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the believers for us. And amongst that, he tells us, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen. That's one of the key descriptions of a believer. And in another part, it says, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And as far as the hereafter is concerned, they have certain knowledge. They have certain knowledge of the coming of these events. And so these events and the ultimate journey that we are taking should constantly be with us. It's not necessarily given to us to make us afraid so we don't do anything. But it should be the type of fear that reminds us of the deeds that we have to do to stimulate us.